නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ. Okay, dear venerable brother, dear friends in Dhamma. Actually, we were discussing Majjhima Nikaya 138, that is called Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta. So this sutta also very interesting and gives us a lot of insights, particularly about the samadhi and again some understandings. If I recall what we have done, basically one time Buddha addressed the monks and he mentioned තථා තථා භික්ඛවේ භික්ඛු උපපරික්ඛේය යථා යථා උපපරික්ඛතෝ බහිද්ධා චස්ස විඤ්ඤාණං අවික්ඛිත්තං අවිසටං අජ්ජත්තං අසන්තිතං අනුපාදාය න පරිතස්සේය. බහිද්ධා භික්ඛවේ විඤ්ඤාණේ අවික්ඛිත්තේ අවිසටේ සති අජ්ජත්තං අසන්තිතේ අනුපාදාය අපරිතස්සතෝ ආයතින් ජාති ජරා මරණ දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්ස සම්භවෝ න හෝතිති. ඉදමෝච භගවා ඉදං වත්තා සුගතෝ උට්ඨායාසන විහාරම් පාවිසි. Now interesting thing here is, now Buddha want to give a deep Dhamma advice, and he mentioned that really in brief, and then he rose from his seat and he went away, went to his kuti. Now the information here is that a bhikkhu should examine things in such a way that while he is examining them, his consciousness is not distracted and scattered externally. Now about the externally, then we need to remember that the consciousness hasn't should not be distracted, should not be scattered. And again, internally, not stuck. It shouldn't be stuck internally. And by not clinging, he does not become agitated. And if his consciousness is not distracted and scattered externally, nor stuck internally, and if by not clinging he does not become agitated, then for him there is no origination of suffering. So if we want to avoid suffering, at least minimize suffering, that means, so this indicates that our consciousness should not establish outside, should not stuck inside. And again, when things are completely abandoned, when mind is not grasping, there can't be any internal agitation as well. Now, after mentioned this statement, so Buddha went away, and at that time, so monks were little puzzled about how to get an explanation about this Dhamma. Now they were discussing Venerable Mahakacchana is the person who is really praised by the Buddha and the other Sangha, who has special skill to explain some deep Dhamma which Buddha has mentioned, and so that Buddha also has approved that. Now they go on to Venerable Mahakacchana, and they invite Venerable Mahakacchana to explain the sutta, explain this particular Dhamma. And then he refused. He say, I mean, if you are in search of heartwood, you should have find the heartwood. You no point of going up to the tree and then finding branches, leaves, etc., because it is not the heartwood. When Buddha is there, you should have asked from him. He is the Dhammasami. He is the the owner of the Dhamma. He is the one who preached Dhamma. He is born of Dhamma. So likewise, he refused telling Buddha's extraordinary qualities, and he refused. Then actually the Sangha again requests that you are being praised by the Buddha. You are recommended by the Buddha, telling that you have the special skill to elaborate Dhamma in simple terms, and therefore please explain this Dhamma to us. Now he agreed, and then he started preaching Dhamma, explaining Dhamma. Now at that point he started from very basic. So basically explaining what is meant by externally scattering and externally getting distracted. Vikittang visatam. How, friends, is consciousness called distracted and scattered externally? So he starts from that point. So then he mentioned dhauso bhikkhuno chakkhuna rupan disva rupa nimittanusari vinyanam hoti. So when we see something outside, so our mind starts looking at various signs, marks, details. So as a result of that, consciousness starts associating those marks, signs, what is available externally, whatever we have seen. And rupa nimitta assada gatitam. So now the mind starts getting some sort of a delight because of this process. Rupa nimitta assada minibandha. So as a result of that, mind get hooked up with it, mind get bound to it, bound with that. Rupa nimitta assada sanyojana sanyutta. As a result of that, various different kinds of fetters going to start, going to promote, defilements are now arising because mind is there, consciousness is established there, it is basically wandering there, lachitit. As a result of that, now mind get defiled. Bahiddha vinyanam vikittam visatanti uchati. This is why what it is called that the externally consciousness is distracted and scattered. Now this is further explained with respect to sounds heard by the ear, then smell and odor, I mean went through by the nose, and whatever the taste or flavors tasted by the tongue, and various tangibles sensed by the body. And the last one is even interesting, that is the even a mind object cognized by the mind. So you can see that mind object also considered as external. So mind may be internal, but mind object is external. But mind now go and stuck with the, or rather scattered with whatever the mind object. Suppose there is some sort of mental image come to the mind. So now one is a little interested about it, start thinking about it, recognizing various other aspects about it, various feelings are now arising, various signs are now promoted. Now you are thinking, ultimately various defilements are going to start. So things can happen, I mean, within ourselves. So eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, we can say, okay, internally they are the internal ayatana, sense faculties, but external counterparts also has to be available. But here, interestingly, mind faculty is dealing with the mind objects, so that is also considered as external. Now this is what is called that mind get scattered, distracted to various external objects. So after that explanation, Venerable Mahakachana explained how the opposite happens. That means consciousness is not distracted and not scattered externally. So that is where when one has seen something, his consciousness does not follow after the sign of form. Now if one has seen something, that is seen, that's all. Other than seeing, there is no more delight going to arise, no more entertaining things going to arise. So various signs and marks not getting attracted. So basically seen is seen, just it, just that. When he similarly when he has heard something, same thing happens. Suppose you are able to hear a sound, maybe it's a beautiful song, but in case if it is possible for your mind to be remain calm without getting distracted, so that is where avikittam avisatam. So mind is not getting involved with external affairs. So mind was able to maintain its calmness, peacefulness, uninvolved state. So that is what is called avikittam avisatam. So same thing happens with respect to flavors, with respect to odors, with respect to, say, tangible objects, and even to mind objects. So various mind objects can happen, maybe signs, feelings, perceptions. They may happen due to various reasons. You may be aware, but not getting distracted. You are not interested. You are not getting obsessed by various thoughts. A thought may come and go, you may be aware, that's it, you are not disturbed. So your calmness of the mind is protected, prevalent. Now after that, Then interesting part comes, that is where what is ajjattang santitang, how mind get stuck internally. So this is where the samadhi part comes to the picture. So Venerable Mahakachan explained that how one attained first jhana. So after he attained first jhana, so it has certain factors, that is the kind of happiness is available because of the abandonment of various defilements, particularly the hindrances. And after that, because of that, the piti, rapture is available, sukha, the happiness is available, and one can enjoy that now. So when one goes through this sort of situation, so his mind is quite interested about it. So as a result of that, vivekaja piti sukhanusari vinyanam hoti. So Venerable Mahakachan explained, so your vinyana consciousness is fairly associating this sukha, so this rapture, so this sort of secluded state of mind. Assume that you are a person with lot of thoughts, thinking too much, but because of your practice, you are able to achieve first jhana. So it's a tremendous achievement because no more distractions, completely mind is calm, quiet, and internally it likes to stay alone. So now you start liking it, you have a desire for that, and even you sit to achieve that. So that becomes slowly your target, your objective of the meditation. And slowly mindfulness become weaker. Now the samadhi become more stronger. And you achieve first jhana and you are enjoying it. You are delighted by that. So this is what is called internally stuck. So vivekaja pita sukha anusare vinyanam hoti vivekaja pita sukha asada gatitam. So whatever the pleasurable, blissful feelings available because of the first jhana, is now one is getting delighted, one is attached to that, one is get hooked up with it. And various other defilements also can arise even after attaining jhana. Now, maybe conceit, maybe comparing, likewise, or even kind of despair that if you are going to lose it. So likewise, with respect to first jhana, so your mind is internally stuck. During the jhana time, you are internally stuck. Very much like you are not aware of what is going on. You are building up some amount of power, concentration power, and then you get absorbed to it, and then you have no control. And after some time, you may come out of it when the concentration weakens, and you are not much aware of what has happened during that period. Because your clear comprehension is very less, as a result of that, not much of awareness. So your concentration power is too much and you are internally stuck. And the same thing explained with respect to second jhana, where the samadhija piti sukha. The first one is vivekaja piti sukha. The second one is samadhija piti sukha. That indicates that the second jhana is more powerful, more deep than the first jhana. More strong concentration is available. So to that strong concentration one get attached. Because it is very much like cutting off from the external world. You are having your own cocoon and you are there, you are stuck there. So you want to have that. So that is, you get attached to that. Sometimes it is called nikanti in the Pali. So you start developing that kind of an attachment towards this blissful state and it becomes your target of meditation. And as a result of that, during that state, your mind being bound to that. So you have no control very much like. So you absorb to that, your mind being bound to that, and you are stuck there. And samadhija piti sukha, samadhija piti sukha asada sanyojana sanyutta. So as a result of this state, there is a kind of a pleasure, kind of a delight available. To that one is attached and various other defilements also can arise. Now this is also internally stuck. Then it is explained about the third jhana where one achieves the sukha, contentment, internally contented, happiness is available, some amount of equanimity is also available, So one achieves the third jhana. So that is more satisfying. So now it is even the nobles have praised that this is a kind of a really pleasant experience that one can have in this world. You know? So it is not a supramundane type of happiness, it's a mundane type of happiness. By the way, that is one of the supreme kind of happiness. So when one achieves third jhana, so that is really blissful. You feels like you got everything, completely satisfied, and you are there. So you like to be there, you want to have that more and more. You spend fair amount of time being there, so you can even addicted to that. So when you are there, upekkhanusari vinyanam hoti. So Venerable Mahakachan explained that your mind is, the consciousness is now associating that whatever the blissful, contented, happy states available during that time. And upekkha sukha asada gatita. So there is a happiness, pleasure available there, and as a result of that you feel quite happy, delighted, and asada vinibaddam, that means you get attached to that, you are hooked up with it, you are bound to that. And next, various defilements can also arise. Now that is related to the third jhana. Then the fourth jhana, adukkama sukhanusari vinyanam hoti. So in the fourth jhana, the important thing is the upekkha, equanimity is the most prominent one. So you don't have piti, you don't have piti in the sense the happiness, you don't have unhappiness or despair. You have strong equanimity. So this strong equanimity becomes one's attachment. So you can recognize how the mind is fond of attachment. Mind want to latch with something, always want to lean with something, attach to something. These are actually the jhanic states are very subtle. It is not that you are like to a particular person and you love him, you have a real affection towards him. It is not like that. Now these are internal mind states. So internal, we can even say niramisa piti. It is a kind of unworldly kind of pleasure. But even to that, mind can attach. It is so blissful, so powerful, so subtle. And that becomes one's attachment. It is called internally stuck. So in the fourth jhana, the same thing can happen. So that strong equanimity is fairly predominant, and one can attach to that. And now we can go to the next part, what is called ajjhattang chittang asantitan. That means even one achieve the first jhana, so his mind is not hooked up with it. So he has the capacity to maintain his mindfulness. Mindfulness is available. He is aware of what is really going on. So complete experience happens within his supervision. He is not stuck with it. He knows how to attain it. He knows that he is there, fully aware of it. And whenever he wants, he can come out of it. And the term even coming out of it also not really valid, because he is fully aware of it. But the mind is very concentrated, fairly concentrated. The first jhana factors are there. He can may recognize them. And he is experienced in the first jhana. But awareness is really available. As a result of that, he is not stuck internally. The first jhana is there. Jhana factors are available. He is fully aware of everything. He is not stuck there. Na viveka japita sukha anusari vinyanam hoti. Na viveka japita sukha asada gatitam. So likewise, the opposite is mentioned. So different first jhana related experiences are available. Kind of a rupture, kind of a satisfaction, kind of a bliss is available. But you are aware you are going through it. You can observe it as a separate person, as an external person. Very much like, say, you are simply, when you start your meditation, suppose you are observing your breath. In breath, out breath, in breath, out breath. So you are observing. So in breath is one thing, your observing mind is another thing. Similarly here, say in the first jhana, so these all blissful states are going on, but you can observe them as a separate person. So kind of a detached observation is possible. So this is also highlighted in the Satipatthana Sutta under Chittanupassana. So Buddha mentioned samahitan chittan ti pajanati. So when mind is samahita, concentrated, collected, so one can aware of that, one can know about it fully that it is collected now. Even when it get scattered, still one can aware of it. So your this observation, observing capacity is very much like developed. It is more stronger. So mind may go through various ups and downs, but this observing capacity is fairly strong now. So in the second jhana also, same thing is explained. Even though the second jhana related factors are available, kind of feelings, kind of perceptions, kind of other experiences are available, but one can be fully aware of it. He's not got stuck there. Third jhana also similarly explained. So third jhana also produced fair amount of contentment, happiness, equanimity, and that is fully aware, and you are not driven by that. You are not stuck with it. The fourth jhana also same thing explained, and you are fully aware that you are in the fourth jhana. Jhana factors are predominant, and you are fully aware of it. You know you are there, and everything happens within your purview. You are not stuck there. You haven't become a slave of the jhana. Rather, you are fully aware of the jhana. Now, after explaining this part, now we are going into the other part. This is also very interesting, very subtle explanation. Now, katanchauso anupada paritasana hoti. Now, typically what we think, so whenever we avoid any kind of attachment, whenever we minimize attachment, whenever we develop a fair amount of vipassana, then suppose our mind become non-clinging, not grasping. Suppose you develop satipatthana, you start vedana anupassana, different feelings are available and you are observing one after the other, and you are developing certain amount of detachment, and you now have fair amount of understanding about how these feelings are arising, how quickly they sort of burst, how quickly they disappear. So you are observing their nature for a long time. As a result of that, fair amount of understanding is now developing, and slowly your mind become detached. So you start developing some sort of a dispassion. Now even when pleasurable feelings are available, so you don't have any kind of an attachment, and even when suffering, painful feelings are available, you can observe them equanimously, and then when equanimous feelings are available, that also can be observed. So likewise, irrespective of the type of feeling, so you have the capacity to observe them. So this is a kind of a skill that one is developing. Suppose you are getting more and more mature about it, and one day, so you have some kind of attitude or fair amount of skill develop, irrespective of the type of feeling. You simply know it's a feeling. And even now you can't distinct, because all types of different feelings are rising and passing away. Now slowly you are deepening your understanding, so insights are now happening, and as a result of that, assume even for a short time, now mind get released. Now no attachment, no grasping. No grasping to internal things, no grasping to external things. So your mind is freed. Anissito cha viharati nachakinchi loke upadit. So you are now living without any association, living without any kind of a clinging. But the interesting point is how mind can get agitated. Now that is what explained here. Katancha also anupada paritasana hoti. Even when mind is released, even when mind is not clinging, how there can be an agitation, internal agitation. Now this is actually a quite situation, quite I mean familiar situation with the yogis. They understand, okay, because of my insight practice, now mind get released. At least temporary, mind is not associating anything. But I can't stay there for a long time. Why? So I have kind of an urge coming internally. So what shall I do next? What is the next stage? Where can I hold my mind? Where can I put my attention? Where should I focus? What should I do? Is it correct? Is it the proper path? What shall I do? So likewise, so many problems are internally generated when your mind is not clingy. Now this is something actually commonly happen because we have a lot of sakkaya ditti. So we want to become someone. So when you reach this freedom, unattached state of mind, so this person, the so-called I, is fairly diminished, being fairly threatened. So you feel really fearful. And here Venerable Mahakachana explained, the untaught ordinary person who has no regard for noble ones and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, who has no regard for true men and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, regards material form as self. So basically this is how the sakkaya ditti, the self view, personality view is generated. Either using the body, either using the feelings, either using the perceptions, either using various formations, or either using consciousness, we identify with it. So this is my body. So where my body has gone? Now suppose that when you reach there, probably you can't even feel the body. And you now wonder, what has happened to the body? So if that thought happens, again it generates more agitation. So you may even open your eyes and you touch your body and see checking whether the body is available. So that people are talking, I mean, these experiences are generally happening. Yogis are telling, okay, I got fearful. And so I open my eyes and I touch the body and recognize, okay, body is available. So that kind of attachment is there. So we identify with the body. So basically that identification can happen in four ways. So either you consider body as yourself, or you possess the body, or the body possess you, that means you are inside the body, you are living there, or self as in material form as in self, or within you the body is available, or you are available within the body. So likewise in many different ways. So this possessing, this identification can happen. Whenever that is available, you can't live longer in that unattached state. Now, in order to verify how much sakkaya ditti, self-view we have, this is a kind of a real indication. So when, because of the insight practice, how mind get released temporarily, when you are there, you can't stay there. Many questions are there. Many doubts are there. You get fearful. And you want to verify where the body. You want to verify whether I am living. You want to verify what has happened. So you feel really threatened. You feel frightened. Because of this self-view. So that is why Venerable Mahakachana explained, even when mind is not clinging, there can be an agitation. Now this is what we need to slowly recognize and has to address in our meditation practice. So again and again we do Satipatthana practice and again mind get released. And now you need to be there as long as possible. So there can even be an attachment to that freedom. So if you get attached to that freedom too much, at the beginning actually you may have to attach, because so that you need to consolidate that. But if you have some sort of attachment to that, so that also can promote kind of an agitation, because you don't want to lose it. whenever a thought happens, then you feel you feel that you are losing it. You feel that thought is a kind of a threat, because you are so strongly attached to this release state, unattached state, non-clinging state, and whenever thought, I mean, you are afraid if there is a thought going to happen, if there is a mental image going to appear, so you are a little worried, you are a little anxious about it. So that is internal agitation. Now, how one can have non-grasping state and not any kind of an agitation? So that indicates a fair amount of understanding. That indicates that mind has abandoned all identifications. So you are not worried about the body. You leave it aside. You can let it go. You can leave aside all the different kinds of feelings. You are not worried. Different mind objects can appear, but you are not worried. You don't recognize with them, you don't consider them as yourself. And various other, say, mental factors might arise. You feel drowsy, you feel, say, excited. I mean, these things are, you can't say the excited, by the way. Has to have kind of a peaceful state of mind. When release of the mind is there, non-clinging of the mind is there, and again, if there is no agitation, that means it's a kind of a utter peace. A complete peace of mind should be available. So this is possible because you are not recognizing, you are not identifying with the body, you are not identifying with the feelings, you are not identifying with perceptions, you are not identifying with various mental formations, not identifying with consciousness. Now, when we are not identifying, that means you can simply abandon yourself. There is no self. So why we get identified? Because of attachment, because of craving. So once we identify, what happened? Then there is self, there is I. So during the non-clinging state, this I is threatened. This I become fairly diluted. So then you feel a little frightened. Again, mind get agitated. So, in the meditation, we have to allow this to happen, recognize it, and slowly abandon that. So, in a way, we are talking here a very interesting technique to abandon Sakkaya Ditti. So, in other sense, we can say, immediately after you become free from attachment, we can't guarantee that your Sakkaya Ditti is abandoned. If Sakkaya Ditti is available, still internal agitation is available. When mind get freed, you feel frightened. When mind get freed, you are asking, what am I going to do next? Is it correct? So the doubt is available, vichikicca is available. So all now you can see that they are sort of interconnected. Sakkaya Ditti, Vichikiccha, Silabbata, Paramasa. So when mind get released, still you have a lot of doubts. Is it the correct method? What am I going to do? What would be the next item, next step? Where is my body? Am I living? So many, many questions are there. And we need to recognize that. It may happen, we need to recognize that, and slowly we need to abandon that. Abandon that and quieten the mind. We need to recognize, okay, this is a doubt, this is vichikicca, this is a nivarana, hindrance. Okay, this is a fear, this is a kind of ill will. This is a kind of an attachment to the body, this craving. So likewise, various defilements, whenever they arise, we need to recognize them. So when we are able to recognize them, then those defilements may start fading away. Now, what is the result is that you are able to maintain that unattached, non-grasping state for a long time and without any agitation. That means the Sakkaya Ditti has fairly weakened, and we are able to maintain our mind in non-clinging state without any agitation. So that is what mentioned here. Mahakachana Thero, where Katanchauso Anupada Aparitasana. Mind is not clinging, and again, mind does not do any kind of agitation. Mind doesn't have any agitation because he does not regard body as self, feelings as self, perceptions as self, formations as self, consciousness as self. That material form of this, of his changes and become otherwise. Now, even when body change or posture change, feelings change, he is not identifying with it. And when they are changing, his mind doesn't bother about it. And his mind is not preoccupied with the various perceptions regarding to body, feelings, etc. So therefore, various agitated states can't arise because you are maintaining that seclusion and you are not anxious. Thoughts are not available. Thoughts are fairly abandoned. So the peacefulness of the mind is available. Silence of the mind is available. You are silently aware what is going on. Complete silence, inner silence is available. So silence indicates lack of agitation. So, I mean, we may not be talking, but how about the inner chatter? So one, we can say, okay, don't talk. So one can shut their mouth. But internally they may be, say, talking too much or even cursing another person, really angry of another person, but not talking. That is possible. So internally agitated. Internally mind is filled with lot of thoughts. He is obsessed. Mental proliferation is going on, but not talking. But here, talking is not available. Internal agitation is also not available. So no thoughts are even available. So thought, assume that time to time happen, but you are not clinging to them. So they come and go. You are able to maintain that peaceful state of mind. So we can relate this to Bahia's advice. Ditte ditta mattam bhavissati, sute sute mattam bhavissati, mute mute mattam bhavissati, vinyate vinyata mattam bhavissati. So when seen, just keep it just to the seen. When hear, just keep it just to the hearing. When cognized or sensed, just keep it there, that's all. And when there is a mental object, you just keep it there, that's all. So if you are able to do that, what would be the next result? Then Buddha mentioned, you are not there and you are not here. You are not in between. This is the end of suffering. So you are not making a self, a person, I, either here or no, neither here nor there. So there is no I basically. There is no creation of I. There is no any kind of an identification, any personality view. And Buddha mentions, okay, this is the end of suffering. So same thing here also. When mind get unattached, not clinging to anything, so basically there is no inner agitation. So you can simply be there. Just be. So you can recognize this simple word, just be, has an extremely deep meaning, and it takes us to the utter simplicity. We can't just be because of our personality view, sakkaya ditti. We can't just enjoy freedom of mind. We can't just enjoy the silence of mind because of sakkaya ditti. I want to do something. I want to be someone. I want to exist. I want to be someone. So this strong I, strong personality view, is really giving us a lot of trouble, inner agitation. So even when mind become peaceful, we can't simply live there. We can't simply be there. So Venerable Mahakachan explained this with respect to the feelings, perceptions, mental formations, and consciousness. And that is the completion of his explanation. And after hearing that, the monks were quite happy. And now they go and report that to the Buddha. And actually, that is a request made by Venerable Mahakachana. So after his explanation, he mentioned, okay, this is how I understood what Buddha has mentioned. So you better go and talk to the Buddha and verify whether my answer is correct. So that's very, very interesting. So rather than he simply taking the authority, he simply say, okay, this is how I understood. Please go and check with the Buddha. There may be additional explanation. There may be a better advice. So please ask from Buddha. Now he invite the other monks. So other monks were grateful to him and then approached the Buddha and they explain what has happened. How they approach Venerable Mahakachana, how he given an explanation and what is the explanation. And after hearing that, Buddha was quite pleased about it. And he mentioned, even if I give an explanation, I would do the same thing. So I really approve what Venerable Mahakachana has explained. And he's a really a wise person. He has that very interesting skill. Whatever I mentioned brief, he has the capacity to explain them very beautifully. And this is the way, even if I explain, I would do. So Buddha really approved what Venerable Mahakachana has explained, and then it becomes a Buddha's word, and what Buddha has approved. And so the Mahakachana is wise because Mahakachana has great wisdom. If you had asked me the meaning of this, I would have explained it to you in the same way that Mahakachana has explained. Such is its meaning, and so you should remember it. So that is what Blessed One has said. Now, so the important thing is the very first statement that Buddha made. So we have gone so far as a complete explanation to this statement. Tata tata bhikkave bhikkhu upaparikkheya yatha yatha upaparikkhato bahiddha chassa vinyanam avikittam avisatam. Now, time to time, assume that you are reflecting about your mind. So this is something that we need to sort of familiar with. We need to train our mind, train ourselves to check how my mind remains now. What is the state of consciousness? Where the consciousness is established? So likewise, you do kind of a introspection time to time. Upaparikheya. So you are doing kind of internal reflection. Examine. So when you are examining like that, bahiddha chassa vinyanam avikittam avisatam. So you should get a proper, if it is a proper answer, you should understand, okay, externally my consciousness is not distracted, is not scattered. Then it is good. So you are not getting distracted. It is good. Now then the next reflection. So you can't simply satisfy with that. Then the next reflection is ajjattam asantitam. So internally also mind should not stuck. Now when you are reflecting, if you feel, okay, mind is remaining within the body, so attached to some bodily phenomena, attached to the breath, attached to rising and falling, attached to sensations, observing sensations. Okay, at the beginning it is necessary. As I mentioned, during our Kayanupassana practice, so this is what we do. We avoid all the external distractions, but now mind is fairly established internally. So that is recommended, that is praised by the Buddha during the first stage of our practice. That is why in Kayagata Sati Sutta, Buddha again and again reiterate, highlights, ajjattam chittam santit. Santitthanti sannisidati ekodihoti samadhiyati. So Buddha mentioned internally now your mind is very well established. It is properly sitting there, properly collected there, concentrated there internally. That is a requirement. We are doing it for a practical reason. After the development of insight only, it releases internal attachment, internal grasping, and then it becomes fully released. Now, when we are reflecting, suppose the mind is not distracted outside, internally also it is not stuck, And that means it is liberated, that means it is not clinging. Even in that not clinging, non-grasping state, are you happy? Are you satisfied? Are you contented? Are you peaceful? Are you able to maintain that without asking the question, what am I going to do? What is next? Where am I? Or are you frightened? So if you have no fear, if you are not frightened, if you have no inner agitation, if you are not asking any question, you can simply be there peacefully, fully contented, then that indicates, say, you are not clinging internally, and even when the mind is not clinging, you are not agitated. If so, if his consciousness is not distracted and scattered externally, nor stuck internally, and if by not clinging he does not become agitated, then for him there is no origination of suffering. Then there can't be any suffering. So with that, I like to conclude today's Dhamma sermon and again the Sutta teaching with respect to this Uddesa Vibhanga Sutta. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Thank you, Sanjay. Sadhu. So if we have any new participants today, to participate in the Q&A, you may raise your hand or you can also send them anonymously via chat.
Yeah, we have a question coming from our Venerable Sudhira. Yeah.
So just to also for myself kind of recapitulate, because it actually seems very nice, kind of in line with the gradual training that the teachers about how kind of restraining oneself to be equanimous towards the external things,
right,
not be scattered in things, and then to come internally to the deeper pieces, deeper senses of Dhamma. Then also not to be stuck there, and then to have this sort of liberated mind, and even within that, not to be agitated or fearful. And is it so that just by dwelling within that over time, one can break through Sakkaya Ditti?
Yes.
Is that how it is?
That is how actually we need to learn from it. That's what we actually... Now the question is, he's mentioning that we are going through this gradual training. So when mind get unattached, if we are able to live it for a long time, is the abandonment of the Sakkaya Ditti. So I feel that should be the way that we need to take it. We are in a way weakening the Sakkaya Ditti. So at the beginning, we may have a kind of an agitation. So once the mind get released, so you feel frightened because of Sakkaya Ditti. Again, next time also you release, again get frightened, but a little bit less frightened. So likewise, slowly this Sakkaya Ditti reduces, and now when mind get released, mind get not clinging, so you are not frightened. But still, you can't live there for a long time, suppose. Okay, so you can simply be there, but now you are not frightened. You can be there, but maybe just 1 minute, after that again you get attached to the body. Some thoughts pertaining to the body may arise. You feel a little agitated because you feel that you lost the body. Because you have strong attachment to the body at this experience. Suppose that you can't feel the body, so you feel a little again agitated because of the body, attachment towards the body. Now assume that next time you slowly abandon that also. Now you can't feel the body, but you are not worried about it. Now probably another later, suppose there's a, while you are succeeding, you get a thought, is it correct? Now I am there, is it correct? Is it the correct practice? Now that is the vichikicca, that's the doubt. Now again, that also has to slowly abandon. So you can see, I mean, different way, we can say like the Mara is attacking. So when your mind get released, still we can't say that we are a Sotapanna. See, we are able to release the mind, but still Sakkaya Ditti is available, internal agitation is available. Now, recognizing all these agitated states, now we have to slowly abandon them. Then one day, say, you are there, you are fully happy in the sense you are fully contented, you can simply be there. just be, and your mind is not agitated. Mind simply, we can say, enjoys it. Enjoying the inner silence, and there is no inner agitation. So that means a fair weakening of sakkayaditti. I don't know how we can say it is completely abandoned. So that is another verification process that we need to go through. I think we discussed the Kosambya Sutta last time. Previously we discussed Kosambya Sutta. So there Buddha mentioned about 6 reflections. So that is something that we need to do again and again. So whenever we do these 6 reflections indicated in the Majjhima Nikaya Kosambya Sutta, if the answer is coming again and again as correct, as yes, so then we can fairly say, with some doubt still, okay, to some extent, I am in a good position, or rather, sakkayaditti has fairly weakened. So then I think that reflective attitude is pretty important. So it is not that we immediately can give an assurance, kind of a certificate, okay, now I am a sotapanna. Rather, better sort of give some doubt, rather kind of a little bit of opportunity that still I am not. So I need to do further practice. So that always say ground us. That always make us a little, humble. And promote practice, further practice. So that is why Venerable Jnanaram Mahathero, he always advised, whenever these things happen, don't overestimate you. Rather, if you like, you can even underestimate you. Doesn't matter, because it will not harmful. If you overestimate you, then you may even think, I am a Sotapanna, I am an Arahant, blah, blah. And ultimately, you even abandon the, say, practice. And you don't have now time to practice. So likewise, many things can happen. But if you feel that still, something is there to do, I still have to continue my practice. So that's a good thing. So we can take that, reflections, six reflection as one important thing to us to verify whether it is truly has happened. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, Bante. Right. Seems like we have a very quiet audience today.
Yeah, they are enjoying silence. You can see.
Yes, in a piece. Okay, we have first question from Chita Devi. You may unmute.
Yes, thank you, Jennifer. Now, I just want to clarify this internally and externally, Bante.
Right.
Now, the Buddha said the consciousness is distracted and scattered externally.
Right.
Does that mean, for instance, when we get this Priti Sukha, for instance, I'm just giving an example, then the mind gets, it can be overwhelming sometimes, and then the mind... gets agitated now and tries to hang on to it. Is that externally or is that an internal thing? Can you clarify
Can you repeat? Basically, you are you are asking when your mind get released, how one get agitated? Is it the one you're asking?
No. Supposing we are now meditating and we are having this Priti Sukha. And it's very, very delightful.
Right.
Then there are times when, in the early stages, that the mind gets very can't cope with that feeling. Is that what we call external? That's my question, and I just want to clarify between internal and external.
No, external distraction means I'm the typical distractions. Say you are now, say you are not mindful basically. So you are living in the past, living in the future, you are, I mean, say when you are looking at a movie, so you are fully there. You are listening to music, you are fully obsessed with there. So this is the external distraction. So typical distraction that we go through. So that is the external distraction. So you are driven by sense stimuli.
So that is nothing to do with our meditation, right? The meditation is only internal, right? Can I clarify that?
Yeah, I mean, meditation helps to avoid that external distraction at the first stage. So, being mindful means, so you are cutting off that external distraction. For you to do that, you are using some kind of an internal distraction, we can say like that. So we are using breath, you are using rising and falling, you are using various other sensations. So now that is what mind get occupied. All the external distractions are abandoned.
So that is the internal now.
Internal.
Yeah, now it is internal bit.
Exactly. Now we need to sort out that internal distraction. How we do that is that we understand the consequences, understand the disadvantages, understand the danger of this, whatever the phenomena now we are examining, we are investigating. So as a result of that, now internal phenomena are there. They are going through their own lifespan. Now we have the capacity to observe it with a detached mind. Later, that develops, that dispassion develops, that detachment develops. Ultimately, mind completely abandons that also. When we are able to let go of that, now, if we give another object to the mind, so then we actually have not understood the Kamathana. Because we went through this proper insight practice, as a result of that, mind get detached, but we didn't know that we have to continue that. We need to minimize that attachment. But when that particular object completely let go of, we put again the mind back to the breath, again the mind back to another sensation. So at the beginning, we need to, of course, go through many, many sensations, many, many, say, whatever the phenomena, to build up that momentum, build up that wisdom. So when we reach to some extent, we need to see, now a fair amount of detachment is available, fair amount of dispassion is available. So when mind gets slowly let go of the existing phenomena, can I simply keep it without attaching to anything, without getting back to any other object, not even to get externally distracted, not even to internally stuck? That means mind is released.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yes, carry on, Bhante. Yes.
Yeah, that means mind is released. Mind is not bound to external affairs. Mind is not bound to internal affairs. So the mind is released. Now the interesting point highlighted in this sutta is even then the mind is released, you feel little agitated because of the sakkaya ditti. Now we need to slowly address that part. Yeah.
So, yes, so from what I'm understanding, and I may not have understood properly, is that when we are meditating, it's mainly the internal, and the external is really when we are in our daily life, that is the external thing where we are looking at certain things or hearing or using our six sense bases, and then we are clinging on to those things. And so that is the consciousness is scattered externally. But when we are actually meditating, and we are still, hanging on, latching on to something, that is an internal, that's an internal thing. Is that right? Am I saying it correctly?
Yeah.
So the external scattering is mainly related to the six sense bases in our daily life, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Now the next thing is, Atta, you spoke about Sakkaya Ditti. Obviously that is the hardest thing, like, because we are always happy to create a self, in daily life, and periodically we let that go when we are meditating, because then we are internally internally dealing with no external distractions. So periodically we lose the sakkaya ditthi temporarily, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correct if I say that?
That is something actually we need to recognize. Now, when we abandon sakkaya ditthi, does this mean time to time it can happen? Or is it a complete uprooting of sakkaya ditthi? So if complete uprooting of sakkaya ditthi happen, that then means one is attained sotapanna, then he can't have sakkaya ditthi at all.
Yes.
But interesting point, another point we need to understand is that, but the asmimana is available. So I am, the feeling I am is still available. So how one can differentiate the feeling I am here, I am existing, and the sakkaya ditthi, the gross personality view. Now these are some subtle points actually we need to verify, that you can remember that Vishakha. So when she attained Sotapanna at the age of 7, and later he became the Buddha's attendant, good travika, and then she became mother of 20 sons, whatever the children, and when her niece passed away, she started crying and approached the Buddha while crying. So you can see, and then Buddha preached the Dhamma, then she was able to establish herself in Dhamma. So that means, I don't know, we can't say so time to time this sort of, delusions can happen. So she's so attached to that niece. So her passing away is unbearable, so she was crying. But when Buddha preached Dhamma, she was able to understood that quickly and abandon whatever the sorrow. So still, because her understanding is not complete.
Yeah, so that's what comes back. Like it was under the impression that in the Sotapanna stage, that one hasn't completely, and one understands the concept of me, mine, myself, understands it very well, and but from time to time, like Visakha, this self comes on, because we are only in the very early stages of this path.
Maybe
to,
correct
to liberation.
Exactly.
So it's only the first stage.
Exactly.
You can't completely. Then you are more or less like an arahat. Level of an arahat. Now, if you are completely lost this sakkaya ditthi, then what is the problem?
Yeah. So that is where it is differentiated as the asmimana. So when one becomes an arahant, may even abandon the asmimana, the subtle conceit I am, is also abandoned. Then, you are an arahant.
That's right, Bhante.
Yeah.
So what I was trying to ask you or clarify in my mind, because I was always under the impression that it's, in the sense, one doesn't completely lose the concept of self in the first stage of liberation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Correct.
Would you agree with me?
Yes. Because it is only the dross part that you are abandoning.
Because from time to time, one does have these emotions of like Visakha had this intense sorrow because she became a self then. This was my niece, I am suffering now. So she hadn't lost that completely, though most of the time she hadn't did. And when the Buddha explained, she was able to very quickly get back because she was at that level.
Yes.
But I was under the impression that you can't completely lose it, because then you are at a very high level if then you lose.
So
because when you lose completely lose the sense of self, then you don't have karma and vyapada and everything, because there is no self anyway to enjoy the karma and the vyapada.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. So actually, that is why it is mentioned, even when one becomes an anagami, non-returner, so you are free from karma totally. So, and the ill will, so you can't, I mean, there can't be any crying going to happen. Because crying, crying, worrying, sorrow, so these are subtle shades of the ill will. So crying can't happen if one is a anagami in that sense.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are all very subtle. No, it's not right, Bhante.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Right. That. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay. So I have copied that Kosambya Sutta explanation to the chat. So if you are interested, you can listen to that. So we discussed that in the Kalalgoda retreat. We do the monthly retreat. Actually, next Friday it starts. So we are conducting 3 days monthly retreat at Kalalgoda. So this Kosambya Sutta we discussed there, and I have copied the link. Okay.
Thank you, Mente. The next question I like to invite Sweeney.
Terasanai Bhante.
Yes.
I was thinking, when one has a deep samadhi, and then your mind is calm, you're not thinking, at that level, can you sort of instruct consciousness, for instance, by saying, this samadhi is also impermanent, it's constructed, therefore it's impermanent, and then sort of guide the mind by saying, for instance, Nibbana is the only permanent, Nibbana is the only permanent thing. You can't say one thing, I suppose, because there's no thing there. Because it's unconstructed, and sort of focus your mind just on blankness, and it's just blankness or something. How do you get out of that samadhi? I mean, you're aware all the time, you can get out of it any time, but how do you guide the consciousness to know this is also an impermanent thing, don't get too attached to it, and sort of focus more on Nibbana?
I mean, if the mind get attached to the whatever the say concentrated state, that means you are sitting, targeting that, expecting that. So that means you have certain attachment towards that. And at the beginning, it may be necessary for you to little familiarize with it. But later, slowly, so you need to have this insight. As you mentioned, I mean, to have this insight, okay, this is also not permanent. And this is not the goal of the practice. So there are various other wisdom-oriented understandings, insights I should practice. So likewise, we need to enlighten our mind with those teachings of the Buddha. So Buddha recommend, say, jhana and maybe the concentrated practice as a, just a temporary release, temporary satisfaction. But that is not the goal. That is not the objective. That's a simple milestone that you are come across during your journey. Now you simply abandon that, and you need to use that as another object of your reflection. So you come out of it that, or you simply keep it aside. And you recognize how the applied thought happen, how sustained thought happen, what other factors, piti happens. Now, if you can remember Anapanasati Sutta, in the second quadrant, piti patisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati, sukha patisangvedi asasi samiti sikkhati. Actually, we can even recognize that. Say, assume that while you are practicing Anapanasati, you get a deep concentration. Fine. But how to treat it? That treatment is explained in the Vedananupassana of Kayanupassana in the Anapanasati Sutta. So now you are aware, okay, there is rapturous state of in the mind. There is rupture going on. There is sukha, there is pleasantness, there is pleasure going on. Now you are looking at it objectively. So you are able to look at it objectively. So that indicates you are not stuck in it. You are maintaining that detached observation. You can look at it objectively, how it is behaving. So this is the correct approach that Buddha referring, how to handle these jhanic states or whatever the concentrated states. It may happen, but you are able to look at it. You are able to observe it. You are even able to let it go. Whatever, if it is coming, let it come. If it is going, it is let it go. So you are maintaining your this unattached observation state. Yeah.
Thank you very much. So actually, it is not a sort of a craving to use thoughts to say what I really want is Nibbana, but not this. So that is like using thoughts at that time, though that no thoughts.
No, if that is, yeah. Now, thing is, if you are stuck internally, you can't make even that kind of a thought. You are fully stuck. So that is why, I mean, so if you understand, okay, I am now getting stuck in this samadhi. Now, whenever you come out of it, you better allow it to calm down. Allow it to calm down in the sense you, rather than doing too much of sitting practice, you better do more walking. So slowly you are giving more prominence to mindfulness again, not to the concentration. Because your sitting practice is more biased towards concentration, and you, if you understood that you are getting stuck there, so you need to minimize sitting. You better even avoid sitting for some time and do more and more walking practice, so that your mindfulness and wisdom become more prominent. That comes to the front, especially the mindfulness comes to the front. Maybe later you can sit again and see whether you can handle it properly. So the concentration also there, your awareness is also fully available. So that means you are able to handle it properly.
Mm-hmm. Now, if one is, when I say samadhi, you're going to the samadhi, you're not thinking, the thoughts are not there, but you're aware. In other words, immediately I can come out of it,
mm-hmm.
and say, get out of the chair and walk even.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just wondering, how do you train, like whether I should train consciousness to say this is not the path I want to take, but the path of Nibbana. So you shouldn't be thinking even, isn't it?
Rather than thinking, say if your mind is not attached to anything, if it is simply maintaining its simplicity, not kind of in a trance, rather the kind of the shallow awareness. So these concentrated states are fairly, could be very deep. But the awareness is possible even at the shallow level. Say, while you are walking, while you are even, say, washing your dishes, while you are, say, having your meal, still this shallow, full awareness is available. So we shouldn't underestimate that. We shouldn't devalue that, because this awareness is something important where you do this kind of monitoring task while engaged with so many other activities, and you are fully monitoring what's really going on. What are the defilements available? Is my mind getting distracted? Is it internally stuck? So all this observation is possible because of this awareness. We can say the mindfulness, kind of effortless kind of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many blessings.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to invite Juan for the next question.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Bhante, for the Dhamma talk today.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of very related to my meditation. Because of that, I thought of kind of sharing some experience and get some clarification from you, Bhante.
Right.
Yes. In my meditation, you know, like you mentioned today in the talk, yes, my mind will have like very less thoughts. So basically then there'll be time, there's no thinking, there's no thoughts coming. Then suddenly I realize, okay, I'm in a thought.
Mm.
Yeah. So I walk, I kind of try to explain why did it come and so on. But my question is, Bhante, like I have been always trying to see, yes, where is the time that my mind was so still and this thought came in. Because at the moment I kind of catch it after it came in. So I always try to see where is that time that it translates from stillness and how the thought get planted. Because I think that is probably the more of the sampajanya part that should be like practice. So I would say when I catch it, like a bit later, then I get a bit of agitation in my mind. I said, ah, even this time I missed it. Maybe I'll try next time.
Yeah.
I think that kind of bit of a suck I had it to be, I suppose.
No, it doesn't matter. But, I mean, you have to go through it because you missed this chance. But, again, next time when you are going through the process, again, it may arise. But now you are go prepared. Now you know how to tackle it, how to handle it. Now slowly, once you reach there, okay, you're carefully handling it. I mean, you can see, I mean, it's a kind of a war, kind of a battle. So you need to again come to that state, properly handle that, then only you become successful. You even come to that state, still you can't handle it, then again you get hooked up with it, internally stuck or agitated, all the problems are there.
Yeah, I'm actually keep on trying.
Yeah.
And I can see there is may have a slight improvement, but nevertheless, yes.
Yeah.
I'll keep on. Thank you for that.
Thank you for the question. I'd like to invite Pumiji for the next question, please.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Bhante, for these talks. I wanted to ask you, today you said that we get that when you lose the sense of self, you get fearful.
Mm-hmm.
That experience happened to me very intensely. Mm-hmm. And I was so fearful, just, you know, I thought the whole of me collapsed sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's talk you say it happens over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not had that over and over experience.
No, what I mentioned is, now when it happens next time, the strength of that would be reduced. At the beginning you feel really frightened, but
yes,
but next time also it can happen, but you are not frightened, you have become less frightened. So likewise, ultimately you are not at all frightened.
So am I to think that since that didn't happen to me, I didn't have another experience, that I have not seen it, or how am I supposed to interpret that one day?
No, you need to... you need to
have a
assume.
Very, very intense and clear, you know, I realized that I lost myself experientially.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing hasn't happened to me again.
No, thing is, now suppose you are practicing, say, Vedana Anupassana to achieve it. Or simply
yes, Chittanupassana
to achieve it, whatever it is. Now you continue the same thing again, but don't keep any expectation. Just observe them carefully. Just observe different feelings, how they are coming, how they are changing, how they are disappearing, how they are scattering into little ones. So likewise, you start building up that momentum again. So without your expectation, again, that same experience can happen. Because if you want to achieve it, if you want to have it again, if you have strong expectation about it, so that very expectation is the reason to avoid it. So your responsibility is simply to do the practice. So when it is properly matured, the experience may happen.
Bhante, is it necessary for that fearful experience to happen again?
No, that's what I'm telling. I mean...
Yeah.
You do the practice, and then the release may happen without fear.
That is what I'm saying. I don't have the fear, but I'm watching all these things coming and going. Yes,
right.
That I'm too.
Okay. After that, what happened? So once you do this observation, is your mind experiencing kind of a release, kind of a detached state?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now maintain your mind in that detached, unattached, unassociated, non-grasping state for some time.
So this has to be done while formal meditation and in daily living life too.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah,
thank
okay.
you very much.
Okay.
Everyone's
at night.
Okay, Bhante, I believe that's the last question.
Okay. Okay, then we have spent about 1.5 hours discussing Dhamma, and with that we were able to accumulate some merits. We share these merits with all the past living relatives, we share these merits with all the celestial beings and whoever in need of merits. We wish these merits help us also to understand Buddha's teaching and practice it to the full of our ability. Let's recite the traditional verses. Ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Ettavataca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nang ho tu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satan samagamo ho tu yava nibbana pattiya. Punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Sadu sadu sadu.